A very unique topic tonight that's going to be addressed in the Sefer Chovetz HaTalmidim. It's a very special topic. I can tell by the crowd that obviously this is probably the most important topic we're going to speak about, because I remember someone said when the Mashkiach says the most important shmuzim is when probably the most important people to hear it aren't there, because the Yetzirah doesn't want, makes that's the shmuz that's going to be missed. So tonight's a very important topic in the Sefer Chovetz Talmidim, because, you know, we always speak about when people are in the yeshiva, about what they do while they're in yeshiva. But what about when they're out of yeshiva? It's not the type of thing we talk about that much. And the reason is because we don't want people to already be thinking about what they're doing when they're out of yeshiva. You know, there was someone who was, and he was an acquaintance of mine, and he was a very, very wealthy man. And he said, I think it's important you should have a business class in your yeshiva. You should have a business class. You know, most of your boys are going to end up going to business. Have a business class. He said, absolutely not. So he stopped giving money to yeshiva, and he was the biggest donor to the yeshiva at the time. And he stopped, and that's just fine, because we're not doing that. That's not what yeshiva does. We don't do that. We don't have business class. We don't want your head to be like now, you know, in business. While you're here, your head should be here. And, you know, I was just talking just on Matzah Shabbos with someone about, you know, once the yeshivas start recruiting, so then all the 12th graders, their heads are like, okay, what am I doing next year? Like, hello, you're here. Let's talk about what we're doing here and now. But am I going to here? Am I going to there? I'm doing it. You know, so the recruiting is really, it causes a lot of issues. It has to be done. It's a necessary evil or detriment, but it's the same thing here. We're not going to start talking about, you know, going to work. When you go to work, you go to work. You know, you go, and Bez Hashem, there should be a transition. It's super important. It's one of the things that Rebbe Wiener and I have worked on in the past, trying to make, you know, some people having some classes to figure out how do you deal with the work world. Because the yeshiva guy leaves yeshiva, and he has no skills. There's certain things you have to know. I was talking once to someone, he's actually Hasidish. He's like, you know, we just kind of like figured out on the fly, like kosher, not kosher, like where can you eat, where you can't eat, you know, you got to shake hands, you not shake hands, you got to hug women. He's like, I don't know, we just do whatever feels right. I was like, that is really bad. That is really bad, because, you know, they're just making stuff up as they go along. It would be great if there would be some sort of you know, guidebook, text, some sort of chinuch of like how to deal with the workforce, because a lot of things that come up. There are certain things that are questionable, and there are certain things that are not questionable. They're absolutely, unequivocally, definitely not okay. Because, you know, I was in this guy's office, and I saw some of the stuff. I was like, what's going on over here? So I asked him, like, did you ever talk to people about, like, you know, these types of things? He's like, nah, everyone does what, you know, everyone does what they want. I just do what, you know, feels right. I'm like, but not every workplace is like that. Baruch Hashem, nowadays you have more and more places where there's like a rav of the company, which is a beautiful thing, or other things like that. But what we're going to speak about today is a bachur that leaves yeshiva. So I think that's a mighty important discussion. We don't talk about it much, but there should be discussions to be had about so many different things, because, you know, I know myself of too many stories of people that got themselves into trouble because they were never given the tools of how to deal with what are you supposed to do when you leave yeshiva. So one of the things which happens, it's happened very much, it's so sad, is for some people, they leave yeshiva and they you know, what they think is, okay, I'm going to set myself up in business, and then I'm going to get myself a chavrusa. You know, and that could be a lifetime until they get their chavrusa. And there was one time a bachur left here, he came back Pesach time, he was gone, he was out from Elul till Pesach, and he sat in yeshiva for a day. He said to me, Rebbe, I promise you I learned more today than I did the entire 7 months since I left yeshiva. It's like, it's horrible. Right? So how does a person avoid these types of problems? Because learning is really, in many ways, learning is the anchor. Learning is our anchor. Chazal say it, Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Torah Tavla. The Torah is the tavla. The Torah is the thing that's going to, if we have challenges, a person needs to be rooted in Torah. And I was talking once, They have, you know, they have these askanim in America. They called me for an emergency meeting. Like, what are we doing about the fact that people are, like, you know, leaving yeshivas and then they're going off to derech, and like, what are we supposed to do? So I said, they have to be learning. He's like, oh, so you're just saying like the old... I said, yeah, it's this. It didn't change. The world didn't change. It's barasi yetzahara, barasi Torah tavla. The problem is people are not connected to learning. And they're not connected to learning, and they go out, they don't have a geschmack in learning. And I very much promoted and continue to promote Kinya Masechta, which is the same basic idea, brainchild of Vaharavna, which is people that are getting a geschmack in their learning. And I've seen people's lives be changed because of it. People whose marriages have been saved. I have people who have literally told me my marriage was saved because my wife had no respect for me, wasn't learning, I was busy doing stupid things. She had no, you know, and then we get into fights, and now she sees he had his Gemara in his car, and he said to me, everywhere I go with my Gemara, and my wife, like, you know, and our marriage has been rejuvenated. And I've seen so many things. When people have a connection to Torah, they're able to stay connected to Torah. So then they're able to withstand a lot of challenges. America is not an impossible place to be. It's not impossible for a person to thrive in America. Sure, it's hard. But if a person stays connected to Torah, so how do you do that? That's what the PSF is going to tell us right now. So we're up to the words. Bachar shegomar kvar v'yotza min ha'yeshiva. I'm using my old one because I have some notes here. It's page Nun. I have the older printing, which is page Nun Vav, but it's page Nun. Bachar shegomar kvar. You might see I might read some words differently because there's a small, subtle, different text over here. Bachar shegomar kvar v'yotza min ha'yeshiva v'ein zman v'shuv niktzavim min ha'menahel u'melamed ha'yeshiva. It used to be when you're in yeshiva, so the yeshiva sets up a schedule for you. The yeshiva sets up times for you to learn. And that's a good thing, that the person's in a system. And then and a person has a Seder Ayom that a person keeps to. And that's what is the structure. But when you leave yeshiva, you don't have that structure anymore. Or at least it's not created by anyone externally. Now a person has to make his own internal structure. Yaktziv loy shiurim al kol hayom. A person should set up for himself shiurim. Shiurim means not necessarily only listening to other people speak, but shiurim means amounts of time, or shiurim, or go to classes, go to shiurim. Now he says something brilliant. Let's look at the brilliance here. The Rebbe is so brilliant. V'loy harbe yoiser midai b'pamachas. Not too much at once. Don't start like piling up on yourself too much at once. Afterwards, put a little bit more on. And I try to use this same idea for Ben Azmanim. There's some people that they come, they just had like the best man of their life. It's a breakout Zman. They go into Ben Azmanim. They're like, yeah, I'm going to have the Chavrusa first Seder Ben Azmanim, second Seder Ben Azmanim. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a disaster. I know this is going to be a disaster. He's overdoing it. And he does. The first day he gets in, he has first day of Chavrusa, and it's, you know, and he's sitting in the base mesh, there's a few guys there, and it's, you know, it's going kind of, and then in a couple of days, the whole thing's gone. It's over. And it's, you know, don't take too much upon yourself. When you're out of structure, when you're in structure, it's great. The structure holds you together. When you're out of structure, so take small things upon yourself. And then after, he says, after a little while, in this case, we're talking about a person going to work, after he says, Eze yomim, umashlim shiurim, and he does, he keeps consistently what he's committed, what he's taken upon himself, midei yom b'yoyim, every day, yoisif bahemat, add a little bit on top of that, l'mashal, I'll give you an example, kishakibel al'atzma l'ilma b'boike b'meshach shtei shois, a person says on himself, okay, I'm going to learn for 2 hours in the morning, and every morning I learn daf gemara, rashi and toisvis, okay, he says a daf, I don't think that's so relevant for us. Let's say a person says he wants to learn an Amid. Every morning, 2 hours, he's going to learn an Amid. Rashi and Tosfos. Achar eze yomim, yomer la'atzmi, after a few days, he could say to himself, Hine, parsha chumash ve'rashi uchal, lo hoisif li, bo'isim shtei shois. I could take those 2 hours, and I could probably add in a little bit of chumash and rashi over there, mibli she'echsar min ha'gemara v'toisvis, and I will not detract or take away at all from my gemara. I could add on a little bit of chumash over there, that'll enhance my life, a little bit of halacha, I'm going to strengthen myself. I'm going to learn a little bit more focused. I'm going to be a little bit more aware, or a little bit more driven. I'm going to be a little bit more alert. I'll carve out in 15 minutes. I'll learn Chumash Rashi. You do this every day. It just keeps on putting in. You know, people don't realize we have so much time in our day. We have extra time in our day. I have a friend years and years ago, my friend Naftali Wolf. He was learning in the Mir Yeshiva. He was a very fine Avrech in the Mir Yeshiva. I introduced him to a big tzaddik named Reb Shalom Menachem Wolgelenter years and years ago. He told me, he said, to this day he always reminds me, you changed my life. Shalom Menachem changed my life. He introduced him to the concept called the 5-minute masmid. And Rav Tolly now, Baruch Hashem, is a balabas, he's working, but every time he has a few minutes, he chapturai and learns here and he learns there. We have so much time in our day where we could be learning. Rav Shalom Menachem taught him how to be that. We have to utilize every single moment in your day. A person's driving to work. So often we space out when we're driving to work. We just listen to the news, or we listen to music or something. But sometimes people have long drives to work. You could use that time for something productive. A person could listen to a shir, a shmooze, or something like that. I know I have a friend of mine who listens to Rabbi Stark's shmoozim when he goes for walks. Changed his life. Just recently, told me he's doing Maver Seder. He started at the beginning of this year because Rabbi Stark threw in a line about doing Shnayim Mikra HaTargum. He says it's the first time he's ever doing it, and he's still keeping up, and he's so proud of himself. And he's like, all because he listened to a shmooz, right? And he's pushing himself. We have so many opportunities to find time where we could learn things. You know, there's a very famous story about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. The story was, someone asked Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, if you only have 5 minutes in your day, should you learn Musar, or should you learn Chumash, or should you learn Gemara? Now, this is a very, very delicate question, because Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was the father of the Musar movement. And there was pushback when he started the Musar movement. People were like, what are you doing over here? Learn Gemara! There's still yeshivas like that don't have a mashgiach. There's still such yeshivas that are like anti the Musar movement. So this is a very, very delicate question. Like, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, what's he going to answer? You know? Like, should you learn Musar or should you learn Halacha? What's more important? Now, if Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says Gemara, so he's like downplaying. He's the Musar movement, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And if he says Musar, then everyone's like, I see. He's not Machshav Gemara. What does he say? And his famous answer was, you should learn Musar, and then you realize you have more than 5 minutes in your day. We have time. There's time. We have it. I just got off the phone with a friend of mine. I asked him permission to say his name, Eli Lowy, from Five Towns. Eli works in Diamonds. And he was my chavrusa in yeshiva back in the day. And he had a chavrusa before davening at 7:30 every single morning. 7:30, he was before davening. His friend was after davening, or maybe the other way around. Dr. Azriel Diamond, I don't know which one was before the other. Anyway, they started learning at 7:30. And his chavrusa said, you know what, let's do 7:15. Let's do 7 o'clock. Let's do 6:30. Let's do 6 o'clock. Let's do 5:30. I'm not finished. Let's do 5 o'clock. 4:30 in the morning, he gets up to learn with his chavrusa. Every day. I just got off the phone with him, just mamish 2 minutes ago. 4:30 every single day he gets up to learn with his chavrusa. He said, we started, I remember when I told him, like, you know, I'm like the shtarki in yeshiva, you know, I'm like, Eli, you should be learning. He's like, yeah, I know. This is when he told me, he's like, I know. I used to learn at 7:30, now I learn at 4:30 in the morning. I was like, okay, sorry, you know, giving him musar. Gets up 4:30 every, he's Baruch Hashem, he's, you know, he's a balabas in the Five Towns. You know, but he's making time for, he's got time, but he doesn't have time to get what he does. Rabbi Stark's brother, Yehuda Stark, was a friend of mine growing up. Yehuda Stark, before he starts his day, he leaves at 4 in the morning from Ranana. He goes to Bnei Brak, he learns for 5 hours with a Rosh Kollel in Bnei Brak, and then he goes to start his day. From 5 o'clock till 10 o'clock, he learns with the Rosh Kollel, with, you know, however they figure out the davening in the middle. A person can utilize his time. A person realizes, I got more time than I thought I have. And a person does that, then he finds himself being able to accomplish a tremendous amount, even if he's a balabas. I mean, Rashi had work that he did. The Rambam had work that he did. Now, for sure, we can't compare ourselves, and that's why we stay hyper-focused on our learning. I mean, the Rambam did learn in Koyla until he was around 30 years old, for 10 years. I don't know if he's 30, for 10 years. But at the same time, when a person goes out to work, it's not over, it's not done. And a person can find a lot of times when he could squeeze out and he could do a little bit of halacha, a little bit of chumash, a little bit of gemara, and accomplish a tremendous amount. Toiv. And this is, I think, the trick. Shetich toiv l'cha al niyar es seder kol hayoyim. A person should write on a piece of paper his seder hayoyim. Now, when I say this is the trick, I don't mean it's the trick literally that you have a piece of paper and a pen. But the point is a person in control of his time? We spoke about this a little bit last week. Is a person realize that my time, I don't just like go to sleep whenever I go to sleep. I don't just take breaks like, you know, for however long the break ends up. I don't just end schmoozing for however long I schmooze. A person has to have a schedule. What's my schedule? My time is super important. He should write on a piece of paper, Seder Kol Hayoyim, L'mashal, B'boiker B'shazu Ani Kam. This is the time I get up. How much sleep do I need? Let me figure out. This is the time. U'B'shazu Kfar Lavashti V'Natalti Es Yodai. This time I'm already going to be dressed. I already washed my hands. I'm already Kriya Shema, Brichas HaTorah. I already got myself ready for davening. There should be a Seder. A person should be consistent. He should be reliable, dependable. V'ani maschil lilmoid ad shazu. I'm going to learn up until this time. This is going to be the time of day I'm going to set aside for learning. This is going to be the time for working. This is going to be the time that... And a person has control over it and he figures out, okay, what do I need time for? People that do not have a regulated time when they go to bed won't have a regulated time when they wake up. They will not have a regulated day and their day is just totally haphazard. Some days it's like this, some days it's like that. A person is totally out of control. But a person that has a schedule, ubechol yoim ta'ayin bereshima, and every day look at your schedule, lahashlim es chukecha, and make sure you keep according to the rules that you set for yourself, the schedule you made. Af hatalmid biyeshiva imrak yirtze. Even a talmid in yeshiva, if he only wants to, yuchalid choik ulehoisiv loy shiurim al shiurei yeshiva. He could do extra learning. If a person wants, they'll find time. You know what? I could stop in another Seder, another Chavrus. I could learn a little bit of Tanya. I could learn a little bit of Derech Hashem. I could learn a little bit of Mesilas Yesharim. I could do a little Mechavis Havavas. I could learn a little Halacha Seder. I could learn a little Pirush HaTfila. Do you know that there are shiurim in all of these things in yeshiva? All of them that you can find, a person wants. If he wants to have time, you can. A person can squeeze a little bit extra. There's so many people that are available, that are willing to learn. I could extend myself a little bit more. I don't need to have so much time. I don't need so much extra space. Lamaze, tipone, v'tibotel kolkach, beis aruch ha-sarayim. Why does a person need so long during the lunch break? Just not doing anything constructive. Ubalayla, and at night, min ha'eis ha-yitziyascha min yeshiva, ad shata shalcha v'mitascha, when the Seder is over until you go to sleep. Why do you need all that time? What are you wasting that time for? It's being wasted. Use it constructively. You know what? I'm not saying that I have to use it like I have to have 3 hours after night Seder is over to learn. But a person can afford 15 minutes. And after a while, I can say, you know what? I could do 20 minutes. I could take on another. I could do a Wednesday night. You know, we're going to start, Beis Hashem, with Siyata Dishmaya Tuesdays and Wednesday nights, learning another parak in the Masechta so we can finish Masechta's Gittin. 20 minutes, Tuesday and Wednesday night. Everyone could stretch themselves 20 minutes, two nights a week. Everyone could stretch themselves. Finish the Masechta, finish another parak in the Masechta, finish Masechta's Kitten. You know, that's a good thing to do. It's an accomplishment. It's a notch in our belt. But whatever it might be, if it's Wednesday night, Cholent, Chazara, and Kugel, and Chickpeas, or whatever the C's stand for, you can do that. Thursday night, Mishmar. I don't know, whatever it is. Thursday night, Mishmar. You know, it's delicious. You get Rabbi Goldberg, gets up there and says, it's delicious. I could stretch myself Thursday night. I need a chill. Okay, so chill for 15 minutes. Chill for 20 minutes. But we could stretch ourselves a little bit more. Why don't we use this time? Why are we not capitalizing? Loma ze loy tigzoil. Gamizu, vegamizu, ezeis l'Hashem. Steal a little during your lunch break. Steal 5 minutes before Maariv. Steal a little bit at night. Steal this for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I believe it's a famous story, awesome story, about Reuven Bengis. Bengis was big stuff, my friends. He was huge. Reuven Bengis. He was a giant. And he was a person that knew shas like this. He was the biggest in the yeshiva. He was famous for being like, you know, he was the best, the top. He finished shas many times. It was a regular thing by him. He finished shas, you know, get together a few rabbalach, time to make a sima shas. One day he says to his children, Rabbi, he says to his kindalach, I'm making a sima on shas. Why don't you get fleshiks? Making a fleshik sima. Fleshiks? Yeah, we're going to make fleshiks sima on shas. So they put together the sima and they asked him, you know, Zaidi, Posepis, why fleshiks? You know, last month sima on shas was mezainas. Why? He said, I'll tell you why. He said, because, you know, that, you know, often people are machabed me with Sida Kedushin, with Sandikois, and these things. Sometimes you have to wait around till everyone's ready. So I made a Seder for myself during the wait time that I would, and to learn Shas during that wait time. And now I finished Shas during the time I was waiting for the Seder Kedushin or for the Bris. This is like a special Siyam, you know? This is the steel Siyam I stole. Stole this Siyam. It's going to be Fleshiks this Siyam. I noticed my dear friend, Rabbi Yankel Bender, always by the Chuppah. He's got a Gemara there. That's when he does his Shas, is by the Chuppah, is waiting for the Chasen Kala. That's what he does. We could steal time. And people that are, you know, big people, so that's what they do. And you could accomplish a tremendous amount. Bengis finished Shas during those few moments when everyone else is just sitting around doing nothing particularly important. Hashiurim asher tikva lechor b'chol yoyim. The shiurim that you have established every day in yeshiva. Bein Talmud ha-yeshiva, bein lomed ba'atzmoy. Whether he's a Talmud in the yeshiva, he's learning him himself. Kol kach tizrago b'hem. You should be so consistent. You should be so regular. Kol kach yikvu lecha. They should be so set. B'chol yoyim b'chol shah. Af b'chol rega lechoik lo yaver. You should never, ever miss. Never, ever be late. It should never happen. There are talmidim that were in my shir. They're not there presently. That went years without missing a shir. Years. Never missed one shir. There are people that have gone years without missing a davening. Years. Never missed. Consistently. There's an avrich in Yeshivas Ner Yisrael in Baltimore, Ner Israel Rabbinical College. Choshev Avrich. I don't know his name, but I was visiting Ner Yisrael and I met him. He never had a brain aneurysm, and it's not the same as what he was, but he lived through it. How did he live through it? This Avrich, a Choshev Avrich. So there's a street called Park Heights, and Park Heights is like the main street where most people live. And the person that does the carpool drives down Park Heights, and he picks up all the avrechim that are there on the street corner, takes them to yeshiva. This avrech, he is clockwork. He never, ever, ever misses. Ever. He was legendary. He never misses. Anyway, they're driving down Park Heights, and he's not there. So they said, there's got to be something wrong. They drove down the block, and he had collapsed in front of his house. And they called the ambulance. They saved his life. This person never ever. It was like there's no such thing as okay. He obviously is, you know, his stomach hurts him today, or his head hurts him, or all the other random excuses I hear when I wake people in the morning, like I have an ingrown toenail or something like that, and therefore I can't get out of bed. It doesn't happen. He doesn't miss. A person should be so consistent in his commitments. We make commitments. We stick to them. A person does that. He finds that he makes that he's going to be matzliach. Everything else is gonna it's gonna break up his day. He's not gonna be able to get his momentum. But a person that's constant and consistent, it just keeps going. If it happens, person has an oines that something, some reason he can't do it. It's gonna bother you. It's gonna bother you if you're oines. You know what I mean? You know, like one time, like when you're in shul and there's a bris, you don't get a chance to say tachanun, and it bothers you. That type of feeling. You know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm referring to. When like your Rebbe's not there and you can't have shir and you're like, oh, it bothers me. Or something happens and you have to, you know, you have something that you have no choice, and you're going to miss a Seder. It's going to hurt. Because this is something that you're proud of. And you know, there's a number of people that called me. They were so bothered. Like, what's going to be during Corona? What am I going to do? How could I miss a davening? I haven't missed a davening in 40 years. What am I doing? How could I do this? Bother them. That they were told they can't go to shul. If a person doesn't have an opportunity to go to a shir or to a yeshiva or something that he's been consistent in, targish ba'atzmacha shepiritza peratzta b'choymes hayoyim. You feel like there's a hole in your day. V'shir ha'chumash or shalchatzi amin gemara shechassar to be'amezeh tzoyek alecha l'amazanachta r'amastazi. And the day that you missed, it's screaming out to you. There's a day that you missed, it screaming out to you, like, where are you? Where am I? It's like a hole. A person has that type of consistency. Listen to this amazing story. And this is not, I understand this is out of our league, but I just want you to have a musik. There's a great person named Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro. Rav Moshe Shmuel was the Rosh Yeshiva of Be'er Yankiv. Was the yeshiva here? He was together once upon a time with Rav Volba, was the Mashkiach. Those are two powerhouses. Rav Moshe Shmuel was a powerhouse in learning, and Rav Volba was a powerhouse in Musar, and Rav Moshe Shmuel was close to the Biskerov, a time of the Biskerov somewhat. Anyway, there's a book that came in, the book's about Rav Moshe Shmuel. I learned a lot of Rav Moshe Shmuel's Torah. There's a sefer that I use the most, it's called Shari Shmuis. That's pretty understandable. There's another sefer which is called Kuntras HaBiurim, which is very, very hard to understand. Very hard. Allegedly, Rav Moshe Shmuel said, my Torah is very difficult to understand. A third of my Torah is, most people aren't going to understand because it's too complicated. Only like my close Talmidim. A third of my Torah, even my close Talmidim, you know, they're really not going to get it. Only like Mamish Miuchadim. And a third of my Torah, even I don't understand what I'm talking about. So it's deep. It's really deep. Kitzer. There were numerous stories in his life about Rav Moshe Shmuel and these teeny little pieces of paper. He had these teeny little pieces of paper that he kept in his pockets and things. Now, Rav Moshe Shmuel, by the way, no one knew that he knew Kabbalah or anything like that, but he was a big, big Kabbalist. And he was a Rosh Hashiva, Litvish, so, you know, people thought, okay, you know, he learns Gemara all day, but they found afterwards a lot of stuff. Amongst them, they found his Kabbalah's farm and all of the, you know, everything written on the side and everything, but he was writing these little notes, and he'd keep them in his pocket, and you know, and no one knew what they were. They found them after he passed away. The notes were he was keeping cheshbon of how many seconds that he wasn't using his mind to think about the Torah. How many seconds? How many minutes in a year? It was like 8 minutes in the entire year. 13 minutes was like a bad year, you know? In an entire year that he wasn't thinking about learning. And what he did was he used those papers and he would clap al chet. He would do tshuva on 13 minutes of not learning during a year. Now, I understand that's not, you know, that's beyond us. This is beyond us. But that we should have a musik of time is precious. And people waste so much time. Like, what's so wrong with me sitting here and just zoning out and doing nothing and being just totally brain dead and a couch potato? And what's so wrong? There's something. This is a precious gift to use for a purpose. Let's think about, are we using every second as best as we can? Now, it's true. Sometimes we need to unwind. We know that. We need to unwind. We need to relax a little bit. But are we really thinking about, am I using my time properly? Isn't every second accounted for? This special gift of life that we have, are we using it? And can we use it just a little bit better? And maybe we should just stretch ourselves just a little bit more and a little bit more. And before we know it, we're getting up 4:30 in the morning, running for 5 hours, or before Shabbos will be 3 hours for us. But Kira Bisa will continue this.